This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Vicki Bolson is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company located in Indianapolis. Bolson Group is the first B Corp certified company in Indiana, but Vicki understands that you don't have to be certified in corporate social responsibility in order to use business as a force for good. Join Vicki as she talks about why it's always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Sawyer, how are you today?
Oh, doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm so excited for this interview that we're doing today. I'll get a little bit more into why I'm so excited, but I want to ask you a question that's pertinent to our guest today.
All right, fire away.
Okay. I am wondering, what was the most tricky class you had in high school?
The trickiest class in high school? Probably, what was it? Chemistry. Okay. It was the stoichiometry. Okay. It killed me.
Killed you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if it was math, particularly Algebra 1.
I mean, kind of a little bit of math tied into the
chemistry stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. If you're behind in Algebra 1, you're going to probably flounder in the chemistry a little, huh? So, Okay. Well, there is a reason that I asked you that. A lot of that is because we have a guest that I am super excited about. First, I want to thank our sponsors for making it possible to bring our guest on. Charge, a sponsorship marketing company, and Selflessly, an affordable platform to help companies start, grow, and record their workplace philanthropy programs. But now to get to our guest. So I have talked about this on my podcast in the past. I think all of you know I have three kids and that my oldest embarked on her first post-college year during the pandemic in 2020. She's living and working from Chicago as a math fellow tutor for a company called Saga Education. And, you know, right off the bat when she told me she was going to do this fellowship, you know, I was really excited for her and impressed right off the start because I thought it was such a good fit for her. And then I was also glad that she found a way to work from home, even though her students are all in Florida. And we've since had so many conversations about her experience with Saga, their mission and their purpose. And she shares these stories with me, you know, about the, you know, the students and the families that she's impacting. And so, you know, I'm already so thrilled that she has the position. And then I go into the Saga Education website and I just am blown away by their purpose, what they're doing, the growth that they're experiencing. And they were even recognized by Fast Company as one of the top five in education in 2020, which is super crazy impressive. And then last night I was just kind of getting up to speed a little bit and I noticed they have this board of directors that is beyond phenomenal. And, you know, I knew I needed to get a representative on the podcast probably 6 months ago. So I was absolutely thrilled when AJ Gutierrez, I hope I said that right, said that he would join us today. He is one of the founders of Saga Education. So we, you know, we are really going to be able to have a great conversation today about the founding of Saga, things that are changing, the impact you've made. And so I welcome you, AJ, to the show today.
Thank you so much for the introduction, Vicki. And sorry, thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking time. I know you're busy. You've got a new product launching May 1st, which I want to get into. Let's start off by you just maybe telling the story about why Saga. You know, you have a really interesting background that I bet was germane to the idea of Saga. But I'd love for our listeners to hear a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. I have a deep connection to what we do at Saga Education. Now, I grew up in a low-income area in the south end of Boston, Massachusetts, with a single mother with three kids who did everything she could to make school a priority. And despite that, you know, the racial and systemic inequities that are present in our education system, you know, made it very difficult for me to thrive as a student. And that all changed, you know, when I attended high school, Match Education in Boston, which is the flagship site for high impact tutoring, the model that we use at Saga, where in-school day public school tutoring launched in 2004 by Alan Safran and Michael Goldstein. And Alan's also the co-founder of Saga Education. So he's known me since I was a 14-year-old. And so it's amazing to work alongside him at Saga Education. And at Match, you know, I had the opportunity to work alongside a tutor, you know, who opted into a year of service to connect with me, to connect with my family, to help strengthen my foundational skills and conceptual understanding of what was being taught in the classroom. And this improved my confidence and ultimately my success. And I share this because, you know, I'm one of the rare founders of a nonprofit who's also received the benefits of its work. And we all know when it comes to education, you know, many factors affect student learning, you know, but a fundamental challenge is the mismatch between, you know, where students are academically and what's being taught in the classroom. You know, you could have a student entering ninth grade who's 4 or 5, 6 years behind grade level. And if you're a parent of a 14-year-old entering high school and you know that, you know, your child's behind grade level, you know, what do you do? And you typically get a tutor for that kid. And unfortunately, most parents don't have access to those kind of resources to provide that kind of opportunity for their children. And so at Saga Education, we address this challenge, right? This mismatch challenge, the relationship-driven targeted instructional support in high school math. Because evidence shows that students who pass ninth grade algebra are 4 times more likely to receive a high school diploma, you know, which is why we prioritize support at this critical transition year. And hallmarks of our program involve integrating tutoring into the regular school day. It's its own class as a graded course for students. And this is key, as a supplement, not a replacement for classroom instruction. And a student would work with a tutor every day or every other day for an entire school year. And to understand the impact of our approach in various permutations, our research partners at the University of Chicago Urban Education Labs has conducted randomized control research studies on our work since 2013. And the results from these studies, which were also cited in President Biden's education stimulus plan, you know, show that students can gain 2.5 years of math growth in 1 year on standardized test scores. There was a 63% reduction in math class failure rates. You know, there was a 26% reduction in failure rates in non-math classes. So there were spillover effects in subjects not tutored. And so these outcomes make high impact tutoring among the most cost-effective approaches ever rigorously evaluated in high schools. And so everyone knows that tutoring works really well. And so the question is, how do you do it in a cost-effective and scalable way? And that's what we're doing at Saga Education, and to help inform the space to not only identify cost-effective approaches, but really trying to leverage technology and human capital to help strengthen the opportunity for youth.
Yeah, and that's why I asked the Algebra 1 question at the beginning, because I love how you've identified, like really nailed it down to like a starting point to build this competence with the kids to hopefully have a better outcome, you know? And you've scaled. If you mentioned you started in Boston. My daughter teaches kids in Broward County, Florida, which I think it's the 6th largest school district in the United States. It appears that you're in mostly the largest school districts in the country. Is that correct?
Yeah, right now I think we're in three of the top 6 largest school districts in the United States. But I mean, I think it's an interesting point. There's 2 things I wanted to say to that. One, in education, it's really rare for there to be randomized control research studies. And I think it's one of the challenges for policymakers to figure out what actually works for students. And so I think that's something that makes Saga very special. And there's lots of reasons why it's rare in education. But to me, that's very surprising because given it, we're in a country that is very innovative in healthcare and in technology, that same kind of innovation apparatus doesn't exist in K-12 education. I mean, if you look at our classrooms, they're very similar to what they look like 100 years ago. You know, of course, there's some changes, but it's very similar. So it's very rare. But coming back to being in the largest school districts, even in an event that you have an evidence-based program, even if you can reach that bar, typically evidence-based programs are typically accessible to larger urban school districts, right, where they have the funding apparatus. And so smaller suburban or rural communities often have it, often struggle to integrate evidence-based programs into their systems. And so a priority for me is not just to identify a cost-effective model that can work in you know, big urban centers, something that could really scale nationally, regardless if you're a small rural community or regardless if you're a small suburban community. Much easier said than done, but I think it's very important as we think about scale in the long term and having a systemic impact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I gathered, because I was thinking, how my gosh, it'd be great if this was everywhere, you know, as I'm reading about Saga education and your approach. That must be what the Saga Coach, is that what it's called, is all about.
Exactly. And that's one step in that direction. And we all know COVID-19 has flipped K-12 education on its head. And there has been a growing convergence around personalization and tutoring as a way to support youth at this time. And so we've had policymakers and funders come to us saying, how big can you get and how fast? And as a nonprofit, right, that's like the best thing you can ever hear. But even if we can get 40X, which we can't, you know, this upcoming school year, it's still a small drop in a really big pond, right? Especially if you think the magnitude of the impact of COVID-19 globally, not just in the United States.
Right.
And so we had to really think hard about how can we rise to this occasion as an organization. And so we had conversations with stakeholders internally and externally, and we've landed on three primary strategic anchors. One is direct impact, right? Continuing to scale our work to demonstrate that we can replicate it and maintain fidelity, and through our direct impact, continue to have test sites where we can learn, you know, about cost-effective approaches for high-impact tutoring. There's widespread impact as our second strategic anchor. And then there's systemic impact, thinking about what are the levers we can pull on the federal and state side to support the use of evidence-based programs and high-impact tutoring broadly. And on the widespread impact front, what we're interested in doing is codifying what we know to be best practices and disseminating them broadly to expand our impact through partnerships. And so what we're doing in May is standing up a free training portal on components of effective tutoring that are agnostic to grade level, that are agnostic to subject. So to give the field a leg up, if personalization is something they want to do, this is where you send your tutors to for basic training. Is it sufficient to become the best tutor in the world? No, but we believe these are the necessary components. And again, that's 100% free. We're making that available to for-profit, nonprofit organizations, schools, and districts throughout the United States. And we expect to build and grow on that platform over time.
I love that. Especially, are you going to have mention in this training portal about the kind of the other values, I guess, that Saga Education has, which is the sort of personal, I don't know what to call it, the personalized care, the outreach to the families. For instance, what I'm referring to is one day Grace told me, she texted and she said, oh my God, this family today that I reached out to the parents to tell them how their kid was doing, they told me that they have never had a teacher call to tell them something good their kid had done. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love that. And I know that that's wonderful for a parent to get a phone call being told, hey, kudos, hats off to your kid. But also it's so impactful for the tutor, right? To be able to provide that and to get that feedback. And the student probably is thrilled that they're going home and their parent is patting them on the back about what a good job they're doing. So it's just all around like an amazing umbrella addition to a good tutoring exercise. So is that part of this Saga Coach as well?
In Saga Coach, we talk about primarily components of effective tutoring. So moves to be an effective tutor. Relationships, we have the three R's. Relationships, one of the R's that we talk about for sure. Parent communication is, I believe, one of the most important things to support students, right? I'm so hearing that story about Grace brings a smile to my face because I had a similar experience. You know, when I opted into my service year, I remember calling a mother, and the first thing she says, like, "What's wrong? What's going on?" Right, mm-hmm. And that's usually the first reaction you have as a parent when you receive a call from school. Yeah. But you know, I said to that parent, "You know, I'm just calling to let you know that I was having a hard day in the classroom, and your son helped settle the class down, and it meant a lot to me, and I just wanted to share that with you." And there was just this long, awkward pause.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. and she said, like, "No one has ever called me to let me know my child has done something well." And I think that, I think that when we think about holistic support to children, we have to think about parent communication. To make parents part of their child's learning trajectory and journey is really important. And they utilizing them as a partner. And one of the powerful things about high impact tutoring is that you can build a reliable, communication channel to parents, because teachers just don't have the time to make those kind of phone calls. But if you have someone like a tutoring corps that's part of the school day that can make those phone calls, can share information with the school, it's just such a valuable asset and resource for schools and communities. And when it comes to relationships, I mean, at Saga, although we're very academically focused, we have a saying that kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so our ability to unlock student academic potential really depends on our ability to form strong, meaningful relationships with them.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting a little teared up thinking about this because I know how impactful it's been just to Grace to be in this position to, to feel like she's making a difference. I have so many things I want to ask, but one of the things that she also shared with me was that I've lost my train of thought a little bit here because I'm trying not to like have a tear roll down my face, to be totally honest. So tell me about why it is that tutoring during the regular school day. I mean, I think I understand, but I want to hear from you why that is better for these students, especially with such a high need for them because of the pandemic, you know, that have fallen behind, and even more kids are needing, you know, this help and assistance during the school day. What difference does that make?
I think it's a couple of things. I mean, I think making a part of the school day, you're part of the education ecosystem, and there's lots of value in that, where you can collaborate and coordinate with classroom teachers and school administration. There are lots of resources there. Tutoring is designed again to supplement classroom instruction. So our Saga curriculum is based on modules, which we can use to follow the sequencing of classroom teachers, and our site directors who manage the team of tutors at any given site, their main responsibility is, to attend, prep sessions with the math teachers and to check in with the school principal. So that connection is really important. Attendance, right? When it comes to tutoring, you can't tutor ghosts. So, mm-hmm. So if a student is in school, that's an opportunity to work with them. And it's part of their regular school schedule, right? And so this is a class, this is a designated class for you. So that adds so much value. And the other pieces at Saga are, work is a graded course. It can be a course for credit, depending on the guidelines of the city we're in, but it's a graded course, and that brings an additional level of legitimacy, and the students take the class much more seriously. And so for some of those reasons, it's really powerful to make tutoring part of the school day for kids.
Yeah. And it's not like they have to do it two times in a day. They don't have to go through the regular class and then do the tutoring later to try to understand what they were learning. It's just all in one. And that's what I was taking from it. And I thought this is a wise way to do this.
And this also, it also makes tutoring much more equitable, because mm-hmm. not all students can go to after school programs, right? Some kids have to go work, right? And so to make it part of their the experience, the K-12 experience is really powerful. And again, it's what we're doing is demonstrating the power of tutoring and making a resource available to students who are from communities who typically wouldn't have access to that kind of resource.
Yeah. And I know that that doing it year round, daily, creates that relationship you're talking about, because, you know, I walk down to my daughter's home. She's staying and working from home for a little while before the summer hits and she can travel. So she just moved home again, and I go down to the basement where she's teaching from to grab a water from the fridge or something, and I can hear her teaching, and she was talking about something other than math. And so she came upstairs later to get lunch, and I said, "What was going on?" And she said, "Oh, we're doing," you know, she explained what they were doing, and she then went into this whole thing about how, you know, she talks to these kids in a way that they don't typically have an adult talk to them, you know, about things other than math. But, you know, they'll ask her questions like, "Okay, so you're a fellow for Saga. What does that mean? Is that like an internship? And then what's an internship?" And it just creates this conversation that helps them with trying to sort out life beyond high school too, you know, and to talk with someone who can give them real world insight, you know? So I love that too. I think with a regular tutor or even a teacher, sometimes this one-on-one relationship doesn't start.
Yeah, I mean, embedded into the model is opportunity for mentorship. And that's the other value of having tutoring part of the school day, because you work with a specific caseload of students and you work with them throughout the entire school year. And so you can establish those relationships. And it's really incredible how quickly those relationships can form. Of course, there's variability, right? In those relationships. But overall, you know, students start to, you know, share lots about their lives with their tutors, and, you know, and it's from a student's perspective, especially from someone like me who's received tutoring, you know, to have someone who knows your name, who knows your birthday, who knows the name of your mother and what's going on, that means a lot. You know, there's a caring adult who really wants you to succeed, and that makes it an incredible difference in terms of your K-12 experience. And for those of you who are listening to this, I mean, as you reflect on your K-12 experience, I bet you there are specific people that come to mind, right, who played a significant role in your growth and development. And that's essentially what we're trying to create here at Saga Education.
That's exactly where I was going to go next was, I mean, AJ, you, somebody who made such an impact in your life, is now your co-founders together of Saga Education. I mean, wow. Talk about somebody having an impact in your life, right? I mean, Sawyer, can you think of someone that's like your person that pops right into mind? I can think of one.
Yeah, probably like Greg Durkek. He was our athletic director / offensive line coach, but he was always like a kind of a mentor, and he would help with whatever we needed with school and everything. And I think it's definitely like, when you're in high school, you don't want to go to your parents with a bunch of stuff all the time. So then when there's another adult who kind of forms that support system, that's where like a lot of growth happens. And it's really cool.
That, yeah.
Kind of like what AJ already said, like they take their time and you see that they actually care. And it just helps so much when you're growing up and trying to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah. I told Grace, I said, you're going to be probably mentioned at dinner conversations and chats between grandparents and grandchildren years and years and years from now as somebody who helped this person change maybe the course of their life. And it's not going to be every kid, but it will be some kids. And I love that. And I love reading the stories on the website. You know, you have a little bit about the fellows and why they chose to be a fellow. And I just think that if there were more people who would think about the systemic, you know, situations that we have in this country and be just mindful and thoughtful about the impact that they can contribute, you know, their purpose, their gift, whether it's time or treasures or, you know, whatever, which is why I'm so moved by what Saga does, because I mean, I think you're right, AJ, it isn't just the Algebra 1 class. It's, you know, so many other things that they're facing, but if they can go to school and feel safe and build their confidence in one area that will, you know, that has been a challenge for them, then it only instills that confidence in them to be able to tackle the next thing. And it's, you just, it's huge. It's absolutely huge for students. Okay. Woo, woo. We are segueing from AJ's recommendation to talk to Grace, because off camera, off mic, AJ, God bless him, he said, you absolutely need to talk to Grace. He was adamant about the educator experience and the input they would have about the impact that they've made. And so it's kind of funny because Grace is down in my basement right now. There she is. I know, we're in the same house because she's moved home for the next couple of months before she travels all summer. But I said, just go down there and let's do it like for real so that we can have our YouTube experience as well when we post it. So Grace, thank you for joining us. I know you've been a guest on the podcast a few times in the past because you are like all like the stereotypical millennial. You are someone who is so into all things social justice, food insecurity, just everything you can think about, Black Lives Matter. And you inspire me so much because half the time I would literally say 1 in 5, maybe more than that, the guests that we have on the podcast are people you have steered me toward. So the fact that you actually ended up working as a fellow at a company that is just phenomenal is super fun. And I think AJ's right. We need to talk to you about your experience. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here, to be back. And yeah, I think Saga, of course, who's really surprised that I wound up working for a place that is being interviewed by Taking Care in Business. I think we all saw it coming. If you know me, if you don't, it definitely fits the bill. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. So AJ, in talking to him, I didn't know a lot of things that he shared. And we've had a lot of, you know, conversations about, you know, over the last year about students that, you know, you've been touched by or experiences you've had. He really encouraged us to talk to you about the impact that you feel you've made. And I think that came after that I specifically said to him that you had shared with me that kids were so connected with you when you were sharing things with them about your own life, you know, like that I blank, you know, like I did an internship and they're like, what's an internship? Or, you know, so I think that that's one of Saga's goals, right? That they want to have this relationship between you, the educator, and the student. But I wanted to just ask you personally about some of those experiences that you've had and the impact that you think you've made.
Yeah. So I think I have always liked working with the youth or with kids or with people younger than me, because I think it is really rewarding to kind of feel like, yeah, you can be a mentor, but I also think you learn so much from younger people. And so I've had a lot of my students tell me like, wow, I didn't understand this in math class, but I do get it now because we could work in a small group. And you answered the questions that I had, not the questions that somebody else in the class had. I think a lot of kids have trouble speaking up, and Saga focuses on small groups, working with students solely really in small groups, which helps students who don't usually participate or feel comfortable like building relationships with adults. It's it's kind of like you got to do it, because it's you, me, maybe one other kid, but some of my groups, we often only have one student and then me. So we really do get to know each other. And I think it becomes obvious how much I care and how much I listen, because I can reference, oh, well, student A, you like volleyball. So what is an example of a volleyball statistic? And when you can connect math to what kids love and do in their free time, that's really what I've noticed is the way to kind of get them to light up, to show up, and to, if not enjoy the math, at least like enjoy the time that they have to practice it and do the things that they're usually maybe scared to do alone. So yeah, I've had a lot of great experiences, and it's awesome that the students will tell me that they're having a great experience, which I think a lot of the time, maybe other teachers don't really have the opportunity to be told by their students, I love how you do this. So that's something that Saga sets up for fellows and educators really well. And it also shows how much the students are thriving too.
Sawyer, do you remember when I told AJ about how Grace had called a parent to tell them, you know, how the student had been doing, and that the parent had, you know, never had a call telling them like my kid has done something. Yeah. I think that is that one-on-one attention, especially when all last year during the pandemic. I mean, I think that when you're going through something, all of us, as traumatic as the pandemic, it sort of starts to feel personal, right? Like, oh my gosh. And so to know, like, I'm still seen, you know, like, even though I've not left my house in a month, I'm still seen. But then also that you're, you know, you're part of a bigger picture, like you aren't the only one. I love that too, about what Saga does. I love that that's part of the, what would you call that? Is that part of the, not curriculum, but the process?
Yeah, like the programming. I think the programming is definitely relationship oriented. Mm. So we are teaching them math, but at the end of the day, I think the real product is the relationships that they can gain. And I also tell my students, like, this is something I had to tell myself, that, okay, I might not need to know the quadratic formula as an adult, but I am going to need to know how to solve problems, how to think critically, how to use foundational skills to do the more challenging things. And those are the things that I really like to focus on in my groups with my students. And they love the real world connections and those kind of things. So yeah, it definitely shows up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it all goes back to, you know, as AJ shared, that algebra one is the breaking point for when a lot of students start to struggle, and then they lose their self-confidence, and, you know, it just sort of starts to snowball. So with what he said and what you're saying, it makes me feel like it's not just about the algebra one. It's about that stage of your life and where you are, like, personally trying to grow in relationships and independence and self-control and all those things, that you get the confidence in those other areas to build on your success in life. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, we actually have, we do, like, other parts of the program focus on talking about colleges with the kids and university experiences, so that the kids are thinking about what's after high school. Another thing that we do a lot of is we do a lot of, like, diagnostic exams, and then we tell the kids, like, this is how much you improved by. You came to class every day, you did your best, and you actually went up this amount of points. Like, congratulations. Or when a kid doesn't go up and they've been coming to class and trying, we sit down and we talk with them about, well, where were you taking the test? How do you prepare for a test? What is your mindset going into the test? Because yeah, like test taking skills is also something that you don't take a class in high school that's focused on test taking skills, but everything you're doing in high school and a lot of college is taking a test. And if you can't, you might know the material, but not be a good test taker. So yeah, we have the opportunity to focus on algebra skills, but also the things that do, I think, come up outside of algebra class as well, which is what I think makes it a fun time for the students and also for me, because I'm really not a math person. I was an English major in college. Like, I avoided math kind of in college. And so finding myself here, I didn't want my tutorials to seem like a normal math class because I didn't thrive in a normal math class. So if you're one of my students, you're probably like me, where math class isn't working for you. So we have to do something different. And that means not just looking at math skills, but also thinking about what can I take from math and use elsewhere in my life.
Well, I love that too, because I know that we talked one night about how you tell students that college isn't for everyone, which I agree with that. I know you believe that. And I think that that's super important, because here they have this educator that, you know, went to college, and probably all of them did, but to be able to endorse that it's okay. Like, there's a place for you. You do not have to go to college, but you do need to get your GED. And this is part of it, you know? I love that you have those conversations with the students too.
Yeah. We actually, for our Black History Month activity, highlighted some Black people and African American people throughout American history. And some of my colleagues, you know, they focused on they were having Black and white pictures, like people from history. And I was like, well, I know my students love when I make real world connections. So I found some people who are like actually doing things right now. I found a Black female chef who'd won a Michelin star. I found like a Black female architect who won a certain distinction. And I found, I highlighted Urban Growers Collective, which is another place I know and love, Black farmers. And so I really wanted to show them, well, how do we use math when we cook? And at first, no one could think of anything. The chat was silent. And I was like, okay, well, do we see fractions? Have you ever seen a fraction when you're cooking? And all of a sudden, they're like, oh my gosh, measurements. Oh my gosh, conversions. Buying ingredients, you have to have a budget. All of a sudden, they were like, wow, people who cook, people who work in kitchens use math. And they realize that about the architects too, and about the farmers. And we've talked about it for athletes and all the different jobs that we forget that we're doing math all the time. And so, yeah, that's going to be part of our Women's History Month celebration too, is they're going to research a woman and talk about how her historical contributions relate to math. So yeah, it should be.
I love that. I love it. I'm so proud of you. This is me as having a mom moment. I have to have a mom moment, and Grace is frozen on the screen, which was really cute. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you got to see her. You didn't look bad though. You looked okay.
Thanks. I'm glad it froze. It's a good opportunity. I think I'm moving again though. So hopefully my connection isn't too bad.
Yeah, next time you might be on the road traveling this summer, or I don't know if I should say yet. So we will just keep that mum. Well, when you join us on the road, we'll talk about the next phase.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I am going to be adventuring. So maybe I haven't done this yet, but maybe I need to drop a pin at all the Taking Care in businesses and see if our route passes by any, because that would be
absolutely
pretty cool.
Well, we had a big talk the other day about the podcast, and she always gives me really good ideas. And I think she'll be scouting for some guests while she's on her road trip this summer. So that'll be good. But anyway, well, you know, I could talk to you all day and you'll come upstairs and we'll continue to talk. But anyway, thanks for joining us. I think this was really good for our listeners to hear from AJ about, you know, the start of Saga, why the purpose and the mission, and then hear from a real life educator about what, you know, the impact's been on you too. I mean, I think that it's been something that's been great for you as well. I've seen a lot of positives as your mom. So I encourage people, AJ did give the ways to get in touch to become a fellow. But if someone wanted to ask you, Grace, specifically for, you know, your experience or advice, is there a place where they can reach you?
Yeah, so the best place to talk Saga specific would be to contact me at my Saga email, which is going to be first initial last name at sagaeducation.org. So G Bolson at sagaeducation.org, which is obviously G-B-O-H-L-S-E-N. And yeah, you can definitely email me there anytime. I'll get back to you. We can find, if you want to do like a video conference, we can make that happen, or email is always good.
So, okay, we are going to move to our, speaking of people making an impact, we're going to move to our Taking Care in Community nominee for this week. And as you guys know, Selflessly is the sponsor of this and makes it possible. And the nominee today is a group called Project Leia. And that's not spelled Leia like Princess Leia. It's L-I-A for those of you who are going to Google it. And I love this project because it's a social enterprise located here in Indianapolis that's dedicated to repurposing discarded material into one-of-a-kind home and office furnishings as part of a job training program for formerly incarcerated women. What a way of bringing together sustainability and social impact. And I had never heard of this organization. So when they were nominated, I was like, what is this? And so I found out about it just as some of you are finding out about it. And I just love how they empower women at the same time that they're being sustainable. And you can shop for this stuff online. It is so cool and it's very affordable. And so I would encourage everybody to look into Project Leia, LIA.org. And kudos to Elizabeth Wallen, who is their founder and executive director. She clearly has an enterprising spirit. And I kind of think maybe she'd be a great guest on the podcast in the future. What do you think, Sawyer?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I know. I think it's a really good one. I love when I hear projects like this. I immediately, my social or my serial entrepreneur mind starts kicking in and I think, oh, she needs to do this in every major city, you know, like start spreading out the model. So anyway, kudos to her. Thank you Selflessly for sponsoring that and making it possible. So AJ, I am so happy to have had you on the program today to just kind of learn a little bit more about Saga and this Saga coach that's coming out that will be available to so many people. I have a feeling people are going to want to know how to find out more information. So do you want to share that with our listeners?
Yes. If you're interested in partnering with Saga and utilizing Saga coach, you can visit our website at sagaeducation.org. There's a sign up page so you can receive notifications once it's released. And we really hope to share with as many people as possible. So please take advantage of it. And I'd like to say, you know, thank you for having me on. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a really fun conversation. You know, I believe in the power of service to, you know, address our nation's greatest challenges. And I want to extend my sincere gratitude for Grace for opting into a service year to connect with youth. It means a lot to me and I'm really grateful for her, especially at this time when, you know, she is needed more than ever to support K-12 education. So thank you to you and thank you to Grace.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's been interesting because I think that now this is kind of her post fellow career, maybe. She's really into teaching. She likes the fact that she has the summer off for the other things she likes to do. So it'll be interesting to see how it's influenced her and how she'll be talking about it around the dinner table with her grandkids someday. So thank you for having her. Thank you for what you're doing for so many people, for coming on the program, and we'll stay in touch.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
I just want to thank Sawyer Benj, our producer, and our show sponsors, Selflessly In Charge. If you'd like to nominate someone for Taking Care in Community, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com, or email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to our sponsors, Selflessly In Charge. And until next time, take care in business.